Mark Schessler, who's been representing Ritzville in the legislature there in Eastern Washington for a long, long time, is always ready to go. We are at the point, and let's bring him on now. Senator Schessler, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well, John.
All right. And I appreciate you making the time. The way the legislative session works is in odd-numbered years, the legislature meets for 105 days. And it's 105 consecutive days, you know, 7 days a week, straight through, 105 days. When we get into the last week of the legislature, you guys are pretty much meeting around the clock every day. So things can happen in the middle of a night that people don't know about. It doesn't make the papers, and it might not even make the other morning radio shows, unless you have a friendly state senator who'll say, I'll tell you what's been going on here in the last 24 hours. That would be you, and you know what we want to ask you about, right? We got to ask you about the status of the capital gains income tax, which passed the House last night and is now, I guess, headed back toward the Senate, and the transportation taxes, because last week you came on the show, told the listeners that they could be looking at an additional dollar per gallon in higher gas taxes and prices because of regulatory burdens. So, take it away. Good to have you here. What are we looking at, Senator?
Well, the House, as many of your listeners may know, passed the income tax bill last night. And in Olympia speak, it's in the concurrence process, which means you have to settle the differences between the two chambers in a relatively short period of time, 12 o'clock Sunday night. The key element is that several brave Democrats agreed to remove any emergency clause that if the public sought a referendum on an income tax, they could. And that's where the real question is, not if Democrats want a capital gains income tax, it's whether they will allow the people to put a referendum out there rather than a more expensive and time-consuming lawsuits or initiatives.
And what the House did, which is very cynical, is they said a capital gains income tax is such an emergency. Never mind the fact that we've got a surplus. Never mind the fact there is no fiscal emergency. Never mind the fact we have billions more to spend than we thought we would have. It's nevertheless such an emergency that we cannot allow the public to have the right of referendum.
You spelled it out really well. The budget is not in trouble. We've had recovery. We've had truckloads of money from the other Washington and wisely set up a rainy day fund many years ago that's there now when we needed it.
Okay. So, With that said, because I've been involved in referenda, most recently Initiative 1000, which went the right way, thanks to the voters, even though it had a terrible ballot title. And I've been involved with several initiatives, as you know, landmark initiatives at that. What I wanted to ask you about is, what would the ballot title be if it were a referendum? Because it seems to me the ballot title would mislead the voters. It would say it was an excise tax when every other state in the country, and I'm not exaggerating to make a point, every other state in the country calls a capital gains tax an income tax, and so does the Federal Internal Revenue Service.
Well, that's absolutely right. Congressman Dan Newhouse asked the IRS for their opinion. It came back the obvious, yes, it is an income tax. The problem is, do you trust Olympia to give you a fair ballot title? Well, if you're conservative, the answer is hell no. You're going to get a watered-down, feel-good ballot title, an excise tax promoting daycare and working families tax credits, not this is an income tax. So that's one of the ballot problems we face. But worse yet is the abuse of the emergency clause. And in this case, it is so convoluted that the staff lawyers and former staff lawyers had to decipher just how they did it. It's instead of being straight up no emergency, yes, it's an emergency, a real convoluted mess that even attorneys have to think about.
Okay. So with that so stipulated, the bill will come back to the Washington State Senate for a final vote, I take it?
It'll come back for what's known as concurrence. And the highest motion is to concur, which is agree with the other body's amendments, or not to concur. And if the Democrats had said, we may support or may not support the income tax on capital gains, stick to their guns and say simply, we don't think we have to have an emergency clause, somebody has to blink. In the end, it appears it's not if there are enough votes for an income tax, it is do they have to have an emergency clause?
Okay, so with that so stipulated, doesn't that mean that the Democrats need 25 votes in the Senate in order to establish concurrence? And if they don't get the 25 votes, then what happens, Senator Schassler?
Well, then the next motion is not concur, which you've already essentially said, and there were more than 25 votes agreed to take the emergency clause off. If they really meant it, it can stand, and at the very least, the people have a reasonable choice, and I don't think that is a huge ask. I personally have opposed an income tax since the day I decided to be a candidate for office.
Sure.
But be straight up with the people. This is not an emergency. The emergency clause is something totally over abused by liberals.
Well, be straight up with the people twice. First of all, it's not an emergency. And second of all, it's not an excise tax. It's an income tax. It's a tax on income earned from investments.
Well, I think that's the key, John. You know, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, people admire the fact that people say what they mean what they say, and deliver it. Where politics gets a bad name is from doublespeak and little white lies that just never seem to stop coming out of some mouths.
Okay, so let's move from and the Democrats, again, they don't have a vote to spare. Right? They've got to keep all 25 on board. Can you pull one of those Democrats, a Reuven Carlisle in Seattle's Queen Anne Hill, or a Senator Kevin Vanderway? Isn't he out in Clallam County? Any chance you can pull one of those votes?
Well, I don't know about pulling it against the actual bill, but I think the Kevin Vanderwegs, Steve Hobbs's, Mark Mullitz that said, you know, we don't like it, or we definitely don't like the emergency clause. They're the kingmakers right now. Mullet, Hobbs, Vanderwig, these people said it's not an emergency. I know some of them don't agree with it. Some may do. But at the end of the day, they trust the people to have the referendum power.
Last question about cap gains, then. Is there still a chance it can die in the legislature without being passed and sent to the governor for a signature?
It's always easier to kill a bill in Olympia in our system than pass it. So, yes, sure. It is still possible.
Okay, good. And now we know how. So let's move. We got a couple minutes left from capital gains income taxes to transportation. A couple of days ago, I said last week, I think it was earlier this week, Senator Schassler, you joined us and said that we could be looking at an additional dollar plus in higher gas prices, regardless of what happens with the market. I mean, the price of gas is going up anyway, but you say it could go up another dollar in gas taxes and fees from the low carbon fuel standard and so-called cap and tax, or the Democrats call it cap and invest. And now I'm hearing that whole thing is on shaky ground, is it?
Yes, it is, because when we had our committee hearings, many on the far left don't like cap and tax. we won't go into that in our limited time. They would prefer a flat up carbon tax with fewer exemptions. We saw rural conservative Democrats saying none of the above. And at this point in time, they are all interlinked to transportation. It is physically impossible to pass a transportation package between now and Sunday night because neither body has voted it off of the floor yet. So it's essentially impossible. That leads us to two really bad options, the high-cost fuel standards, which is a gas tax without roads, House Bill 1091, and then you have the cap and tax from Senator Carlisle. They are linked to transportation. They are, the cap and tax is linked back to the budget. It's very complicated. We could go home without any of those. We could spend money liberally in capital budget, operating budget, and maintain transportation.
Okay,
which leads me to the wild card, John.
Right.
Special session.
Yeah.
Jay Inslee cares more about climate bills than anything else. Well, maybe anything else. He's enjoyed his emergency powers. But the governor could engage and say, you know, I just have to have this climate agenda, so therefore I'm going to have a special session. And while we're at it, let's have a transportation package since they seem to be interlinked. So,
by the way, did you notice, side issue, did you notice the White House today is having this huge Earth Day climate change convocation, leaders around the world? No invitation.
Yeah, we could have a wonderful half-hour segment on environmental policies in Brazil, China, and India.
But notice that Jay Inslee, not a part of it. Once again,
I don't know how they could have it without the world's most leading authority on climate change.
Oh, now we're getting cynical, aren't we? But the bottom line is, here's someone
who... We cannot work this out. The time is up. Our house is on fire.
This is a guy who was shut out of any cabinet position in the Biden administration, even though his Secretary of Energy, his Secretary, his Interior Secretary, his EPA Director, the Assistant Secretaries, even though Jay Inslee would have jumped at the chance to take any one of those positions, and he positioned himself as the climate change politician in America, he gets none of those things. Biden has not one but two climate advisors, neither of whom is Jay Inslee, and he has this big event, climate change event, Jay Inslee not a part of it. He really has been frozen out. No pun intended.
How can you freeze somebody out with global warming?
But it's happening. I mean, look, it's happening. Jay Inslee, this is the unwritten story. Right now, which is that Jay Inslee has been completely sidelined by the powers that be in D.C., even though they're pushing a radical climate agenda. Last question, we got 30 seconds, and that is, do you see anything happening on the transportation front in the next 48 hours?
No. The physical part of it is you have to get it to the floor from rules. You have to schedule a sizable amount of time to prepare amendments, pass amendments, possibly pass a bill, then get the House to do the same. There simply is not the time for the mechanics, even if there was agreement or near agreement.
All right. We'll see what fragments of that agenda do come together. But the so-called grand bargain, which, by the way, never included taxpayers, is not going to happen. Senator
Not
Schessler.
At this point in time, but you heard it first. I'd say there's a better than 50-50 chance we're back again.
Special session. And it could be an immediate one, too, right?
Well, the governor can bring us back immediately or have a little bit of time out, but it certainly could happen. And I think it's better than a 50% chance because it's his agenda that isn't done. I think we're going to have completed budgets on transportation that are probably going to be bipartisan. Capital budget will be bipartisan, and a party line vote on the operating budget because of the quite significant taxes involved.
Okay. Mark Shessler, great having you here. Great review and analysis. Appreciate it.